Dr. Finlay's Casebook. We present Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Dr. Finlay in another story about the characters created by A.J. Cronin. This week, A Gift of Love, written by Donald Bull.
Sounded like a bottle, Doctor.
And my rear tire. All right, you get along, Janet. But make it quick, will you? I've got about 7 calls. Oh, look at that. Confounded whiskey bottle.
But I only have to call at the manse first for the key. Oh, the carelessness of people leaving bottles in the road.
Yes? Oh, Miss McPherson.
I didn't want to disturb you, Mrs. Blair.
I was just resting. Is it my husband you wanted? He's away.
It was only to get into the Kirk Vestry, to fetch the Columba banner, the one that was coming to pieces.
Yes, I know. Come in, Miss McPherson.
Thank you. Oh, it's biting cold, isn't it? I promised to take it to Mrs. McEwen. She's a wonder with her needle, but quite bedridden, the poor soul.
I don't think the vestry's locked, but you'll need the key to the placard.
Oh, placard. That's a nice old word.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they use it where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Oh,
thank you. Is the minister away long?
Oh, just the one night. He'll be back soon. He had to go to Edinburgh for a synod meeting.
Mm-hmm. Are you all right, my dear?
You mean the baby?
It'll be very soon, won't it?
Yes. Yes, thank you. I'm all right.
I'll bring back the key.
Oh, God. Get in, confound you.
Doctor!
That's all right, Janet. You can take your time. I've got to change this wheel.
Doctor, could you come to the vestry?
What is it? Do you want me to carry your banner?
No, Doctor, but there's someone in there, a man.
I'll tell them to go away.
I would, Doctor, but I think he is dead.
You're right about him being dead. And dead cold, too. Must have been here all night. Oh, what a reek.
He couldn't have been very well, Doctor.
You can say that. Whiskey. One of these wandering folk must have stumbled in from the cold, passed out, and it's what's called insufflation. I'm sorry you had to see it, Janet.
He doesn't look like a tramp.
No, more like seaman's clothes. Here, what's this? It's a contusion on his head.
He fell and hit himself?
Not in anything here. And take a stone to do that.
Should we send for the police?
Well, we'll do that in any case. There's something odd about this chap. Yeah, stand back, Janet. I want to have a look at the trunk.
Perhaps there's something in his pockets that will say who he is.
No! Don't touch him.
What is it, Doctor? Those marks on his chest.
Janet, could you make your way back to the surgery? Tell Dr. Cameron to get the MOH and the police and to come right here. I'm not sure, but I think we've got a case of smallpox. I'll stay here until they arrive.
Dr. Finlay is bringing emergency supplies from Stirling Hospital. Yes, obviously, we must have confirmation. But I'm afraid neither of us are in any doubt. Very well, if you wish. Dr. Finlay and I will take charge of the necessary precautions here.
Dr. Benny...
Meantime, it's a matter for the police. What contacts, if any, the man had in the neighborhood? Yes, very well. You found some vaccine?
Yes, 20 doses. With luck, that should get us by.
Let's hope so. Well, we'd better make a start. Janet, could you come to the surgery a moment?
Yes, Doctor.
No word from the police?
No more than we know. That the man's name was Parrish from his seaman's card. Nothing else in his pockets. A knife, a few coins. Come in, Janet. Roll up your sleeve, will you? I'm going to vaccinate you.
But I was vaccinated, Doctor, when I was a baby.
Ah, this is a booster, Janet. Then I'm going to do Dr. Cameron, and Dr. Cameron's going to do me. And in a few hours, we'll all have itchy arms. Don't move. I'll go.
I only lifted the poor man's head, Doctor, and his shirt.
Have you ever seen smallpox, Janet? The left sleeve. This won't hurt. Just a scratch.
Come in, Sergeant. You're just in time for the party. Did you bring P.C. McNally?
He'll be along, sir. Had to leave someone at the desk. Dear Dr. Cameron, miss.
Oh, you said it would not hurt, Doctor.
Wait. I'll put a plaster on. You can use your arm normally for housework.
But thank you, Doctor.
If it swells and inflames, let me know. Sit quietly a moment. If you'll remove your jacket, Sergeant Bell.
Right. Any news?
We've a call out to all ports, with a description. It shouldn't be long, and we're passing the word round in the town, quietly, like you asked.
Dr. Finlay? Yes, Mr. Blair. But there's no danger.
Your left sleeve.
I see.
It's important people should understand that if they've had any contact with the man, they're in danger.
If they've any sense, sir, they'll come in.
In my experience, unfortunately, they haven't.
That was the minister, Mr. Blair. He's worried about his wife.
But she's in no danger?
No, but there's the baby, and he says that she's upset.
Yes, I understand. I'll go there. Just a scratch, Sergeant.
Doctor, I was thinking about the bottle.
Bottle, Janet?
The one that was in the road by the kirkyard and punctured Dr. Finlay's car. You said it was a whiskey bottle, Doctor. And the man had been drinking whiskey.
You didn't mention this, Doctor.
No. No, I didn't, did I?
I just thought...
Thank you, miss. And if you finish, Doctor, I'll follow that one up.
Lady, Dr. Cameron's here.
What? But I told you that I
didn't. Your husband was quite right, Mrs. Blair. You've had an unpleasant shock.
It might have been you who found him, Liddy, not Miss McPherson.
Yes. I'm sorry. It must have been dreadful to find that man.
Oh, well, Janet's made of tough material. She has to be. So, of course, have ministers' wives.
She hasn't slept.
Yes. I can understand what's worrying you both. But there's no danger, I can assure you of that. Neither to you or the baby. There's a special protection around mothers to be.
I can't forgive myself for leaving her. He might have come to the house instead of...
He didn't. Why do you go on? He crept in that place and...
Liddy.
I think you should rest.
Yes. I'm sorry. I am on edge. I'll go and lie down.
Shall I help you?
I'm not crippled! Oh, can you leave me alone?
It's best. Leave her. Believe me, this is quite normal, Minister.
We've been looking forward so much to this. We've been married 5 years. I'd begun to think that...
That's not uncommon, too.
Oh, I know. And in some ways, I wasn't sorry... I had no real home for Liddy. Assistant ministries and never for long. My last was in Garston. Fleetwood before that. This is my first charge. It's a joy. It's where I'd want our child to be born.
But you're from farther north, aren't you, Minister?
Oh, aye, the North Pole. Wick. And she's from the border, almost English. You could say we were almost polar opposites, in temperament, too. And I'm 20 years her senior.
Well, that's often a good recipe.
I think so, yes. And now that our baby's coming... Oh, you become so wrapped up in... I ought to be thinking about that young man who died in my kirk. Is anything known about him yet, how he came here?
We should know soon. There's been a great alert... The disease has been almost stamped out in this country. Unfortunately, not so abroad.
Yes, it's a terrible thing. I've seen it. At least can we give him Christian burial?
That will be possible, yes. At the moment, I confess, The living are my first concern.
But you didn't actually see the man. No, then you do not need a vaccination. What you have is just a cold, I expect. Oh, yes, I will tell the doctor. Oh, that's the 10th in the last hour. Not to speak of the door.
Oh. Yeah, I'll do it, Janet.
Thank you, Doctor.
Not a minute.
Then I can carry on laying the table.
Did you see this, ma'am?
How's your arm, Janet?
Thank you, Doctor. It is itching very much indeed.
Well, then you've not to worry about.
Oh, now the door
again.
Quite
unnecessary. Make yourself a nice cup of tea. Goodbye, Mrs. We're doing this by elimination. All the people who haven't seen our sailor. Well, with any luck, the town's missed this epidemic.
It's the sergeant, Doctor.
Evening, sir. Dr. Finlay.
How's your arm?
Coming up nicely, sir. I've got some news. You should be in the force, miss. We followed that lead. Found a spot of blood in the road near where the bottle was.
You think you may have slipped?
Cracked his head. Ground was frozen hard.
And then got up and walked into the kirk. Maybe, sir. But we found where he bought the bottle. Early Friday evening at a pub in Kirby Muir. The landlord remembered him, said he looked ill and paid from quite a bundle of pound notes.
But I thought there was no money in his pocket.
Just so, miss. We reckon someone cracked him on the skull and took it.
Then carried him into the kirk and stowed him in the vestry, where he wouldn't have been found in the normal way until Sunday.
Yes, sir. We're treating it as murder.
Whoever did this will be carrying infected money, perhaps the virus in his blood.
And what's more, he's not likely to come along asking for vaccination.
Stand still there. Oh!
You're back, then. Where have you been? It's been 2 nights.
Get the food and stop your clatter.
No money in the house to feed your own family. 2 nights away, you come juking in.
What's this?
It's what you get till you pay for better. I suppose you booze your cash away.
You want money? Take it.
What? I'm seeing miracles. Where'd you get that?
What's it to you? Do you want it or not?
Get to me! The police was here.
What?
Not for the first time, is it? The thin one it was, McNally.
What did he want?
Asking about the fella they found killed in the kirk. Said you might have seen him, travelling.
Killed?
A stranger fella. They don't know who he was.
I didn't see him.
Tell the police, not me. They said they'd be back. But where are you off to now?
Got to, see to the horse.
You look gash. What's up with you?
Nothing. Nothing.
Dearly beloved, no, let me speak without using phrases or cant. We are not all each other's dearly beloved. Love is something that has to be earned. Only a few months ago, I came here as a stranger among you. I and my wife were received gladly. We found peace and hope to find your love. Another stranger came here, the man we know as Matthew Parrish, and found his death, a tragic, pitiful end to his life. It may be that someone listening to me now knows how he died. I picture that person as someone not truly bad. There are very few who are that. But who gave way to sudden temptation. It may have been an accident, or he found Matthew Parrish lying unconscious in the road, and his crime was not the taking of blood. If this man hears me now, or if my words come to him, I beg him to come forward. He is in mortal danger, not only of his soul, but of his body. And all those near to him are in equal danger. Let him know that even if the law does not find him out, there is a seed in him that may exact a more terrible justice. Let us pray that he will hear these words.
Well, they've traced him.
Parrish?
Yes. Ah, tea. Good. I've just seen the police.
Who was he, Doctor?
A seaman, as they thought. A deckhand. He came ashore at Greenock 2 weeks ago from a cargo ship. The Ailsa Mary from Tangier.
There were some cases notified there.
The vessel's been quarantined, and they're rounding up all the crew who left her. The port medicals are sweating blood trying to contain it.
2 weeks.
And Parrish turned up here 4 days ago. That means he was 10 days somewhere.
Incubating the virus. Spreading it.
And with money to burn. He'd been paid off. He could have gone anywhere. The only clue they have is Aberdeen. A lorry driver says he gave a lift to a man who might have been him. But nothing came of that. He just disappeared.
Wouldn't the answer be, Doctor, that he just went home?
It would if he had one. He was the vagrant kind, lived in seamen's hostels. They don't know where he came from, even if Parrish was his right name.
A blank of 10 days. Looking for something, perhaps. Or someone.
Well, whatever it was, the poor chap found something a bit different from what he expected.
I wonder.
It was you.
Hodger.
I can see it. It's on you. Barney the bear, and you've got to go to them.
A word. One word. Here. I'll tell you. And the bear.
You're killing us now.
Ach, you don't. Do you not see what I'm doing? It's a scare. A trick.
Will you look at yourself?
And get out of my way. I've warned you.
Tarnach Bray Police, Sergeant Bell. Glasgow. Yes. Oh, they have. Now we're getting somewhere. His real name was Gavin, Matthew Gavin, and they found where he came from, Jedburgh.
Jedburgh?
Yes, miss. Mean anything to you?
No. No, it doesn't.
What sort of man was he?
Sounds a bit of a wild lad. Parents dead, brought up by relatives, trouble with the police. Nothing serious, drink and that. Trouble with girls. Serious this time. He used to write them poetry.
Oh, sort of border Robbie Bunch.
Ran off when he was 18 and took his mother's name, Parrish. Never heard of since. And his age, yes, he was 23.
His movements, have they been traced further?
One good report from the Glasgow police. A bus conductor thinks he had him as fare. Noticed him because he looked ill. And that was on Wednesday.
The day before.
I was covering a bit of country, if that Aberdeen report was true.
What I came about concerns you, miss. And Dr. Finlay. There was something else missing from the body, not just the money.
Oh, such as what?
The Greenock police questioned one of his crewmates. He used to bunk with him. He's in hospital under isolation now. This man said Parrish always carried something round his neck on a string, a sort of small leather pouch. Wore it next to his skin. He didn't know what it was. He thinks it was valuable. It never left his body. You didn't see anything like that? Maybe near the body?
I can't say that I did. Did you, Janet?
No, there was nothing, Sergeant, I'm sure. We would have seen it.
We searched the vestry again and the road. So whoever took the money took that too.
A pouch worn next to the skin.
I wouldn't care to be the one that's got that.
A seed that may exact a more terrible justice.
Sir?
I was quoting, Sergeant. But I think it can't be long now before we know who took that pouch.
Oh, that's my kitchen door, Doctor. Excuse me. Yes?
Miss!
What is it? Is there something wrong?
It's the baby.
Is she not well? Come in, my dear. You should have come to the front door for the doctor. Oh, but she looks quite bonny.
I want her to have the vaccination.
She hasn't been done. Well, she should have. She must be more than 6 months old.
My husband wouldn't have let her. He didn't want her to.
Your husband? Aren't you Mrs. Biggs, the carter's wife?
Biggs? Biggs, hold on there. Hold in.
What do you want?
Turn your cart about. Come on, man. You know what it's for. McNally, get him.
Get out of my way!
You blazing idiot. Get down from there. Hold him. All right. That's it.
Christ, Sergeant. Look at his face.
All right, Sergeant, but not too long. The nurses get upset.
How is he, then?
Lucky. It's what we call variola minor, the mild form. They'll get over it.
A carter. I don't know why we didn't think of that one. He's out on the road all times, travels overnight sometimes to get to the early markets. Well, Barney, you're no looking too good.
I'm not saying anything.
It's no use, boy. Your wife's told us about the money. And you were on the road the Friday, just about the time Parrish was attacked.
She's lying.
Have a bit of sense, Barney. There's a charge of murder out. It's up to you to see if that can be reduced. To manslaughter, see?
I didn't kill him. I tried to save him.
What happened?
He was in the road. It was black. I couldn't see him till I was on him, holding a bottle in his hand, waving. I was on the horse, holding the horse. He went down. I didn't hear him. He must have slipped. It was ice in the road. He must have got a dent in his head. I didn't think anything, just to get him on the cart and get help. I started lifting him. And then the money fell out from his pocket.
Sergeant,
you took the money. And after that, you couldn't take him in for help, not without giving yourself away. Is that right, Barney? But you didn't want him found too soon either, so you carried him out of the way into the kirk.
He'd have froze. It was to save him.
Maybe somebody will believe that, but it's not the whole truth, is it, Barney? You took the money and something else.
The money, that's all.
The pouch, man. The pouch that was round his neck.
What?
I think you'll have to leave him, Sergeant.
Biggs, the pouch. And what was in it? You took it. Where is it? Hmm? Where did you hide it?
No. Nothing. Just the money.
I'm sorry, Sergeant. You'll have to wait for the rest.
No, that's all right, sir. I've got what I needed. He wasn't lying.
That's one riddle solved and another started. It's like a detective story. The mystery of the missing pouch. Who took that? Or maybe he just lost it.
Or gave it away, Doctor.
Would he have done that? He heard what the police said. It was something to be treasured. Never left him. We're back where we started. Or have your mighty intellect spotted something that I haven't?
I am afraid so, Dr. Finney. The one thing I was hoping was that Beggs had taken the pouch as well as the money. But now, on your own terms, it's the final clue.
I don't get it.
Consider where Beggs found the man.
In the road, by the kirkyard.
And where Parrish had been reported in the 10 days that he was missing. Aberdeen, Glasgow. Imagine that he'd been searching for someone who at one time had lived at those places or near them. And remember what you yourself called Parrish.
What, a border Robbie Burns?
If the person he was looking for came from the same small border town, perhaps grew up with him, shared something precious with him, something he'd lost and had to find again.
Doctor, shall I go?
Yes. Thank you, Janet. Perhaps that would be best.
It's the evening service. It's nearly over.
Mrs. Blair.
I'm glad it's you. I couldn't tell him. Well, he didn't know about Matt, you see. Matt and I were children together. And when we were 17, we knew there would never be anyone else. Then he had to go away. He said he'd come back, he'd find me wherever I was and make me queen of the stars. He wasn't a very good poet. I promised I'd wait forever. You do when you're 17, but I didn't wait. Well, I thought he'd forgotten, but Matt did come back. He found me where I was at Fleetwood. That cold stone house. My husband never knew what happened. We moved soon afterwards near to Glasgow, but not for long. We came here. My husband was happy. He wanted the child so much, and then that night he was away. Matt...
Please, Mrs. Blair.
He was ill. I could see. And he'd been drinking. Oh, I told him he had to go. He was wild. But then he was like his old self. He said he'd go, but wanted to give me something to show that he kept his promise. A ring. A gold ring that was his mother's. In a pouch he took from round his neck and then he went away. He went away. To tell them. The baby. Oh, dear God. Oh, they must save the baby.
Doctor, it's Mr. Blair.
Yes, yes. Come in, Minister.
Dr. Cameron, I'm not disturbing you.
I'm glad to see you, but sorry to have your news.
Yes, they're sending me on, but it was my own wish.
There are many who'd wish you to stay, but I understand.
I came to make my goodbye and to thank you. It was a miracle.
Of nature's. Not mine. I've seen it often, this special protection. As though the mother gives everything to guard her child.
Everything, yes.
She was very ill and hid it. There was no way to save them both.
Oh, I know. I'm grateful to have a part of her, a living part. I prayed for that. Dr. Cameron, I've brought something that I'd like you to have. I found it where she'd hidden it. The ring.
I can't take that, Minister.
And I can't keep it. He gave it to her. It was a gift of death.
But he couldn't know that. It wasn't a gift to her. Or you, far less to me. It was a gift of love. You must keep it. And one day you'll give it to the one for whom he truly meant it. Your son.
This week's story from Dr. Finlay's casebook was A Gift of Love by Donald Bull, featuring Andrew Cruikshank as Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Finlay. Blair was played by Joe Dunlop, Mrs. Blair by Nell Brennan, Sergeant Bell by John Graham, Beggs by Ian Blair, and Mrs. Beggs by Elizabeth Proud. The characters were created by A.J. Cronin, and the play produced by Edward Taylor.